Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear research backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are going to be here until 11 o'clock for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we appreciate your calls. So feel free to get on. If you have any kind of computer technology issues or problems, you know, we're here to help you out. Been doing it for the past 30 years on WTIC. this is our 30th year. And we're happy to continue to do so. Once all the problems are solved, we're going to retire.
Right.
And that'll be it. Right, Dennis?
Call it in my dreams, man.
We'll hang up our pocket pen protector, our pen pocket protectors, or whatever it's called.
And put away the slide rules.
Exactly. So we got some news for you guys. And this is kind of like the idea here when it comes to the cloud is the shared responsibility model.
Right.
Right. So shared responsibility model of the cloud basically says they'll provide the thing, you protect your data.
Right.
And there's some big issues here. PBS station, I think it was in Atlanta or something like
that. No, it's St. Louis.
St. Louis. Okay. Yeah. Lost 50 terabytes of data after being ghosted by their cloud storage provider. So basically they had purchased a cloud backup. Very common thing. We've talked about this even with Kim.com back in, 15, 20 years ago,
right,
when the feds took his servers.
Right.
This case, it was some sort of Iron Mountain data center, but it was used by a third party called Open Source Storage.
Yeah.
So Open Source Storage says, hey, we're going to sell backup to people, and they utilized Iron Mountain, which is still in business. Iron Mountain still in business.
Oh, they are very much in business.
But Open Source stopped paying their bills.
Oh.
Went bankrupt, and PBS's data went with it. So there are some pretty important files, 50 terabytes. One of them has to do with the East St. Louis Great Flood of 1993.
Ooh.
And over 11,000 files. So here's the thing, guys. You put it in the cloud. Guess who's responsible for it still?
You are, because it's your data.
Right. The cloud doesn't care about you. The customer, the actual SaaS provider doesn't care about your data. This is the same thing for Microsoft 365. Or anywhere you put your data, whether it be in Microsoft, whether it be in Google, whether it be in a third-party data center like here in Iron Mountain where they had a third-party reselling their services, you still have to back up your data in the cloud. You're going to say, right, wait a minute, I was backing up my data in the cloud, Eric. No, that's what I mean. You got to back up the cloud.
Right.
So you got to pay for your primary backup in the cloud, and then you have to back it up again to another cloud provider.
Another cloud provider.
Or bring it down local.
Or, yes, put it on your own iron.
Right. So We'll see what happens. There's some hearings going on, and there's some judges that are trying to force this or that, that Iron Mountain must hand over any physical devices holding the data.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, of course, the judge doesn't understand how that works.
no, because it's probably on a server with hundreds of other, customers' data that they can't be deprived of just because one has a problem.
Right. So Iron Mountain, you know, they're going to maybe try to offer some level of protection, but they don't have any responsibility for their customer then reselling their data or reselling their services to someone else. So,
right.
But they're now in the middle of it. So mm-hmm. The moral of the story is when you put it in the cloud, it's still your problem, whether it be a software product, whether that cloud gets breached or not. Guess what? You're still responsible for your customer's data getting breached, for any of that PII getting out there, any of that HIPAA data getting out there, any of that financial data getting out there. You put it in the cloud doesn't mean you're washing your hands, even if it's FedRAMP, guys, even if it's GCC high.
Wow.
They get hacked too. You're responsible.
100%.
So you're going ahead and you're trying to deal with your compliance, and you're putting it in there so that your CUI is protected, so that the Chinese can't figure out how to make an F-35. And then you let them log in to your account because they said, you know, what's your password? And you gave it to them. You're still responsible. Right. So keep that in mind. I'll put the link up here for you guys to read this story from Ars Technica about the poor PBS station losing 50 terabytes of data. It's a lot of data.
Yeah, I had a different article about it, but that article, the one that I'm talking about, even put in pricing for, you know, having a NAS on your own network
to store
all that data. It's about $1,000.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah, when you're running an entire PBS station, that's almost nothing.
And you could have also archived it to cold storage, not even live NAS. You could have just done some simple backup. 50 terabytes, you could have got some pretty large drives, done some backups to them, put them on a shelf, even sent the hard drive to Iron Mountain if you wanted to, physically.
Right, and have it physically housed there.
Right, so you got to protect your data. We're actually in an age where we're probably going to lose more data than ever, considering where we're sticking it. So, but we'll put a link up there for you guys. What else do you want to bring up, Dennis?
Oh, I wanted to bring up the problem that we've covered before.
Yep.
Which is service members using fitness apps.
Yeah.
Which is great for them because you want them to be fit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Problem is those fitness apps are leaking their locations to the service that they're using.
And we've talked about this for a while.
We have. We've talked about it multiple times.
Okay.
And it turns out that the Strava app is now being taken advantage of by the Iranians to figure out where our military folks are out in the Middle East.
So we've talked about this months and months and months ago. So this is still occurring is what the issue is. This data is still leaking, right?
Yes. It's still going on. And apparently the Pentagon hasn't done anything about it, or maybe they have, but the service members are still not locking down their phones. I don't know.
Like, do you really need if you're on a deployment, guys and gals, and you're in the middle of a hostile area, do you need to have your silly app on your arm to know whether or not you did a bunch of loops around the carrier or not? I mean, are you looking for that little check mark on your fitness app to say you did it? I mean, you know you did it because then you went and served your station on the boat. What are you doing, guys? You're literally showing the Iranians where you are in the Gulf.
Right.
Hit me now. I'm over here.
That's right. Yeah.
You can't really make this up. And again, it drives me nuts because, again, the amount of time and energy our manufacturers here in Connecticut are putting into CMMC compliance to protect our data from the Chinese. And then you guys are literally on the weapon. You're riding the weapon and you're showing the bad guys where
you are. Yeah. Come on. Enough already.
You can't make it up. I don't have a story about this, but I did also hear that the Flock folks are changing their data rules. Have you seen that?
I've heard about that. They made a big deal about apparently police side abuse.
Yes.
Where police or other people with access to Flock are, you know, stalking people for nefarious reasons. And I did see their CEO on television saying that they're going to use, here's what he said at the time.
Yeah.
They're going to use AI to monitor you know, access requests.
Mm-hmm.
And if they find activity that they think is stalking behavior, they're going to block it. They're going to knock the person out and or block whatever account is being used or whatever in order to prevent it.
Right.
Now, the issue is when you're doing that, how if you're a police officer and you're requesting Flock data, how does Flock know that your request is for a good reason or a bad one?
I would contend it has to do with how often you're making the request about a certain type or certain thing in a certain way. But then again, it could be difficult to discern whether or not it's you're stalking your ex-wife or you're actually going after a bad guy.
Well, what I'm thinking is, I mean, there could be a bad guy somewhere that, you know, they are actively investigating. And in that case, you want them to get that data, right?
Yeah.
Now, you could also have a guy who's stalking his ex-wife.
Yeah. The correlation, though, would be
but
that.
But how would, what I'm getting at is, how would
the AI know?
And how would Flock internally be able to distinguish that behavior? Yeah. I don't see how they would know.
I guess they look at registration data to see if you happen to be married to that person before.
In other words, they would have to go get metadata on surrounding the requests and then use that to make that determination. But I don't know. I just don't see it being that thorough.
Yeah, no. It is interesting. They're at least trying to at least change the EULA to satisfy the fact that we're not getting rid of these guys. These cameras are not going away.
No, they are not.
And they do some good. And if we can actually get smart about how we manage our data, again, we seem to have no issues with toll. Toll systems do the exact same thing. And nobody seems to care about that. I mean, I remember Tony Tolles here in Connecticut that was going to make everything perfect here. And we were going to have toll booths with cameras and the whole thing going on, right? And they would have been able to scan your license plate, bill you later. Same exact thing. DEFCON dingus suspected of trying to take over a Delta in-flight Wi-Fi. So, yeah, so geeks are just sometimes dingalings, right? So they... These guys were quote unquote hackers that were going off to DEF CON. It was a confab in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure if it was on the way into Las Vegas or on the way out of Las Vegas, but basically, I think it was leaving Las Vegas. The guy got
leaving Las Vegas.
Yes, oh, don't start right. singing. That's not good. Do you ever do karaoke for Elvis?
Sure.
You do. All right. I'm going to get you going.
Why not?
Well, hey, man. Sometimes you're lonely tonight. So basically, they've set up a little Wi-Fi network on the plane, which is not cool.
Well, also, they sent out bogus disconnect requests where it was faking packets being sent by the true Wi-Fi controller on the plane. And it was telling all of the connected clients to disconnect.
Right. And then reconnect.
And then reconnect, but to the fake one.
And they would then, of course, steal your credentials. So if you're logging into something, they would steal your login information. Of course, the crew did notice this. The captains noticed this. And they have some audio back and forth with ground and yada, yada. Moral of the story is, I've always said, computer crime, dumbest crime to actual commit. It's zeros and ones. They will find you. The problem is we just still don't prosecute you enough, but they were able to figure out what these guys were doing. But it is something that people are doing in general. We talked about it even in the hotel rooms. They're sitting there setting up fake Wi-Fi. The Russians are doing it. You're sitting there logging into your business account. If you're not on a VPN and you're on their Wi-Fi, they're harvesting your credentials. So moral of the story is just because you got inspired at a DEF CON confab, don't start using the tools to hack your fellow plane mates.
Latte for Kenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Kenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Kenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Safety issues, just hacking. We'll put these stories up there for you guys to take a look at so you know we're not making it up. I wish we were making it up.
Yeah.
You can't make it up.
Yeah,
that's just crazy. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. So Jack, Paul, and Alan, we'll get to your calls after the break here. One line open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. All right. We are back, and we're here to help you out. We do have Ziggy in the house, but as you know, with Ziggy, he ribbits a lot. We did our test even this morning.
And it's been about 50%.
It's uncanny. It's like he's awake and then he's not. And then he is and then he's not. It's basically Alexa Plus. It's barely AI. It's not really.
It's really primitive.
Yeah. So we'll get eventually when OpenAI, they're supposed to have a speaker style dot scenario, which is what we're using here. Literally, we have the Alexa AI dot right in front of a microphone. So it's like Ziggy's in studio as a guest. But we're going to try to get the next ones that are out there. They're a little they're expected to be like $400 though for the OpenAI version.
What?
I just can't see spending that kind of money.
Oh, come on.
But when it goes down in price, maybe. I mean, Ziggy's here because he was free.
Right.
I just think he's fun to see what he has to say. But let's get to your calls and see what you have to say. We're going to go to Jack in Glastonbury first. What's happening, Jack?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Hey, listen, this is not a problem. It's actually the solution, but it's so interesting. I figured you guys might want to hear it.
Sure. Great.
I have Outlook, and I use that. I've been using that for years, so I know it inside and out. And all of a sudden, it wasn't working. Like I was receiving stuff. So, like, if you sent me an email, I would get it. But if I replied to it, you wouldn't get my reply, okay? So I thought, well, it's not. I'm looking at it, and it shows that the message that I'm sending out is going in the Outlook outbox. You know, it goes in outbox first, and then it stays there for just a second or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to the sent folder, and that's where it stays until you delete it later on. Yeah, so that was all working, so I couldn't figure it out. And so my primary email service is Earthlink.
Okay.
So I contacted them, and they couldn't figure it out either. So I got onto Earthlink, and you know, I checked all the Outlook stuff, like the POP3 settings and the SMTP stuff, and that was all correct according to what Earthlink says it should be. Okay.
Yeah. So Jack, before you go further, are you still using POP? Can you go over to IMAP?
I can try it, but.
That's a better way to go.
Yeah, that's something for a later day, okay?
All right.
So anyway.
Continue.
I get on Earthlink, and I said, well, let's see if there's a problem with Earthlink. And Earthlink's got its inbox, you know, was transferring up to Outlook. All of that stuff was working. And so I sent a message from Earthlink to another account I've got. I've got an iCloud account.
Mm-hmm.
It said it was sent. You know, it's a little flashing message comes up. Message sent. It went in my sent box in Earthlink.
Yeah.
But I never received it on my iCloud account. So we kept trying this out. And my wife is also, we're all on the same, she's got an Outlook account too. So we're using 365. So she was having the same symptoms, okay? So mm-hmm. that should have raised my wife. So I'm thinking, oh, there's got to be something still wrong with Outlook. They must have done an update to the system that screwed up Outlook. You know, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally figured out it was something to do with Earthlink. Outlook, I gave Outlook a clean bill of health.
Yeah.
And so I got on there, and I finally, after several days, I got to a tech support guy who knows what he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
These guys were throwing up their hands. We can't figure out what's wrong. So he said, let's go on VPN. So I went on VPN and did it, and it worked. So what was happening was my public IP address was changing to another address, and it was working, okay?
It wasn't working when you changed, so they were seeing you as a suspect when it.
Yeah, this is
you
what
were
happened.
Getting blacklisted.
Yeah.
He said my the router
black-holed.
Was using, we used what's it called, chicken IP to get the
IP chicken.
IP chicken.
Yeah.
IP chicken. We used that to get the public IP address. And he says, this has been flagged by Earthlink.
There you go.
Yeah. And what happened is they didn't just blacklist your IP, they black-holed it. So Outlook on your computer thought that it actually sent the mail and that it was accepted.
Right.
But it wasn't accepted. And Earthlink let Outlook basically think that it had been sent when it never was.
Now, do you know why your IP was blacklisted, Jack? Were you possibly hacked? Did you possibly have malware on your system? Were you sending out a bunch of spam? Is there something going on? Or it could be the whole IP range.
It could have been the whole residential block.
What it was, according to the tech guy at Earthlink, he said that I'm using GoNet speed.
Yeah.
And they must have got a block of IPs that they released out.
Yep.
That Earthlink thought was suspect.
There you
Earthlink
go.
The thing that bothered me was Earthlink didn't say anything about this. When I sent the message to Earthlink said it was sent.
Yeah.
And it went in the Earthlink sent folder, but there was no message that came back to Earthlink saying, hey, this is...
Yeah.
They black-holed it. They didn't know where to look.
They black-holed it. They didn't even want you to be tipped off that they were rejecting your mail.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a normal thing.
It's a thing, yeah. So, yeah. Jack, that's a great story. I appreciate you letting us know about it.
Yeah, that's a real scenario, though. People need to know that it can happen.
What I would advise people to do, if that's happening...
P black-holed by the internet provider. So, what do you got, Jack?
Well, what they suggested is just to, you know, shut your router off and let it come back on, and it'll find a new public IP address, and that's what we did, and that worked.
That's true.
Okay, so I'm wondering if GoNet Speed was doing something transitional with their IP blocks, and you temporarily had one that just seemed suspicious to the rest of the internet.
Yeah.
But by the time that you refreshed it, they were deploying different numbers, so you were all set.
Well, yeah, the thing was, this was lasting for several days, so whatever IP address they gave me.
Oh, yeah.
It can go on,
a long
theoretically, it can go on for a couple of months. I can think of at least two tab clients that had a similar situation.
Yeah.
And in one case, it took, I think, 2 months to finally get resolved.
So those leases go for a long period of time. Internal leases are usually short, but leases like that to a network like that will be longer.
And another issue is how the blacklists handle their own information.
Yeah.
It's very easy for an IP address or an IP range to get on a blacklist. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to get one off.
That's true. So, it's a lot of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this appeared to be one number because it was the last digit, you know, how the last group in the...
Yep,
that, the octet. Once that changed to another number, it worked.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Sounds good. That's a tough one to troubleshoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a good one. And so people that are, you know, when you've like... The obvious thing is to reboot your computer. If that doesn't work, try rebooting your router.
There you go, Jack. Sounds good. Appreciate the insights.
Yep.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
You bet.
Excellent.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. So yeah, it's a, that's a typical, not typical, but it's a difficult it one happens. To troubleshoot. Yeah.
And it is difficult to troubleshoot, and it's obviously something that's kind of out of your hands. So. Yeah.
Let's go on to Paul in South Windsor. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, morning, guys. Thanks morning. For taking my call.
Sure.
A couple of quick questions. I'm going to be getting a new laptop shortly to replace my 9-year-old laptop, and I'd like to transfer all my apps, all my passwords, all my files from the old one to the new one.
Yeah.
Okay. So looking online, I see they make software packages like PC Mover or Z Install that'll take all that from the old to the new. Is that my best course of action for what I want to do?
I have personally and for friends have used PC Mover, which is by a company called Laplink.
Yep.
And yeah, that'll do the job.
Okay.
There are different grades of it.
Right.
And okay. there's one grade of it, I think they call it home or something like that,
mm-hmm.
It'll just move data. There's another grade of it, I think it's called Pro, that will also move applications.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, so that's whichever one does that. We'll look for a link for the exact product and get that posted so that you know okay. exactly which one to get. But good, that good. Product definitely does what it says on the label.
Cool.
Okay.
It can take a while for it to actually complete, but so you got to be patient. But
no, that's okay.
it does work.
Now I'm retired. I got lots of time.
It's a 9-year-old computer too, right, Paul?
Yeah.
So it's been updated, right? It's probably Windows 7 that was upgraded to Windows 10.
Well, no, it's actually upgraded to Windows 11.
Whoa! You actually got it up to 11 before.
So okay. My point is, it's been through some upgrades.
Yes, it has.
So those software packages are going to have a lot of. History
mm-hmm.
That you're going to move over to the new Windows 11. But Dennis seems confident, but, you know,
there is some wisdom here. Some of those applications you may actually just want to install fresh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything
yeah,
that you have an installer for that you know will work,
just do it.
I would just install them fresh. But you would be able to pick and choose which ones to carry over.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if anything is weird or old,
passwords and all that stuff that I had those saved, but it'd be easier if those moved up, you know, with this transfer.
Depending,
but I will look at PC Mover.
Depending on what it is that you're moving, some passwords will transit and some mm-hmm. will not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in some cases, they will not on purpose because the passwords may be stored in a hashed format that is keyed to the original computer.
Mm-hmm.
And PC Mover will move that whole hash file over for you.
Yeah.
But once it's on the new computer, those hash checks won't match up anymore because it's a different computer with a different hardware hash that it's depending on. So you may end up having to enter some passwords.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying. I'm just trying to give you the caution and tell you in cases like that, there literally is no workaround. You have to re-enter them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Second quick question. One of the reasons I'm upgrading to a new laptop is last month or so, I've been getting issues with this blue screen BitLocker error.
Okay.
Where it turns, the screen turns blue, it says BitLocker, and I have to enter that 50 digit pass key to get it going again.
That doesn't sound like fun.
No. Well, it says BitLocker is some kind of security built into Windows, so nobody can get. Is it, for me, you know, I'm a casual user. Do I really need BitLocker? Can I disable it without worrying about it too much?
It's a laptop, right? If you're bringing the laptop back and forth and you have data you don't want somebody to find, if you leave it on the seat of a car, of an Uber, or you leave it somewhere, then you'd want to turn on BitLocker.
Yeah.
But if it's pictures of your grandkids.
That's not going to happen with me.
Yeah, yeah. So if it's, then I would say, you could turn it off. I'm trying to think of in Windows 11 how easy that is because I want to say it's kind of native these days.
It's right in the control panel for it.
It says to turn it on. Just go into settings somewhere and you can turn it off.
Yeah, there's a control panel for it, and there's literally an off switch in there.
And that's and again, the thing about Microsoft, though, is they've always been security less. So, you know, when you go to your new system, whatever blue screen you're getting, it's kind of a rare error. And to and to become less secure may not be the best idea going forward, even though you have nothing critical on your system.
Right.
We always want to recommend being more security forward than to be upset.
Go backwards.
Yeah, we have a client that we just spent a lot of time turning on two-factor authentication for, only to them have them tell us to turn it off. And you can't even make it up. And the problem is, what they don't realize is just who is out there trying to get in their systems. And they're like, hey, we're just so-and-so company. Nobody cares about us, right? And literally, I can almost predict it, that they're going to be encrypted and ransomed, right? But eventually, and they had a tool that would have prevented it or lessened the chance of that by having a two-factor authentication. But some of their users are complaining about the process. It's just a little minor process. In your case, you're getting an error, which is unusual. Like, we have thousands of computers in the field. If that error came up in our client base, we would be just upset ourselves, right? But we can't tell people to turn off this security. So I just think your experience is leading you toward a choice that you shouldn't make, and you should keep BitLocker running on the new machine. It just is a matter of being encrypted. Like your phone should be encrypted, like anything in your life these days, like your email should be encrypted, like your VPN should be encrypted. Encryption is very important for privacy. If it's not encrypted, it's much less secure. Not that you're doing anything wrong.
Yeah. No, it has it's been odd. It's been happening after it's been trying to do an update. Where it says, you know, if there's certain things Microsoft has to update stuff, it goes through, and then it errors off with BitLocker, and then I go through that, get it going again. It says we're trying to repair your computer, and it runs, and then it says, "Oops, we couldn't do that. Sorry, it's not your fault. It's our fault. We're good. We're deleting all the changes."
Oops. Isn't that great? So Microsoft says oops.
There's something weird going on.
Yeah, there's something wrong or corrupt in the operating system. Another reason not to transfer, because if you have corruption, you got to be careful with some of the files. Not that it is necessarily going to be a problem, but you may have a problem with some corruption.
Yeah, well, I think it's an operating system maybe issue.
Yeah, it is definitely. It's definitely an operating system issue.
It is.
But with a new laptop, would be a new fresh operating system, so that should be.
Yeah, it should be until it says oops.
Until it says oops. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for your insight. I appreciate your help on
this. All right. Thank you, Paul.
Yep, so long.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, BitLocker, I mean, you don't want to lessen your security if you can avoid it. And again, we're pretty disappointed in this client that went through all this process only to have us undo it. And I can tell you numerous examples of clients that I have literally sat in front of them and said, please, please consider Duo two-factor authentication. They didn't do it. And then months later, they were encrypted or they were ransomed or they had data exfiltrated. Because we can't put enough security in place to prevent your people from giving up the password, right? Without two-factor authentication, if your people are phished with their username and password and they don't have two-factor, all the guy in Uzbekistan has to do is log in as them. There's no second factor that he has to come up with in Uzbekistan to actually prove that he's you. And so then they get encrypted, their data is exfiltrated, and you're dealing with now a breach that you could have prevented, especially since he already had us configure it, for crying out loud. So we'll step out for a quick break. Alan and Greg, hang on. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir. But yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
With Tab, I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11. And I am efforting to get Peter Kelly Detweiler on to talk about electricity. So many electricity-based stories these days from, you name it, just the great data center pause that's happening with all sorts of states and how they calculate electricity, how it's being used, how Texas is realizing that all the data centers going in there is going to like quintuple their actual energy need. And they're just now realizing it. I mean, that's just ponderous, as Casey Kasem would say. It's ponderous, man. You didn't know that? Come on, man. So we're going to go to your calls. Again, we're geeks. We like data centers. We like the idea of data centers. We like the idea of what they can promise. And the problem is, though, Dennis, is having politicians come up with the actual layout and the actual planning is the problem.
That's part of it. And then sometimes it's just the tech companies getting carried away with themselves too.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any tech company that can have an error that says, oops, you know we're in trouble. Imagine if your car said, oops, I'm broken down. You're going to have to sit here for a day as I reboot.
Worse yet, aw snap.
Aw snap. I hate the aw snap. Oh. I mean, that is just, I think it's
That's a programmer laughing at you as the user.
Yeah, aw snap.
He was laughing his head off when he typed that in as an error message.
And it got through.
It got through the committee.
Yeah.
And aw approved. Snap.
I'll aw snap you in half. Let's go to Alan in Glastonbury. Hey, Alan.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Okay. So I called last week. I've got a blue screen. The message I get is kernel security check failure, and you thought it might be a heat issue, and you thought like the fan might be clogged, but I pulled it out. There wasn't any visible dust. I did vacuum it out, and the room is kept at like 77 degrees, so not super hot.
Wait, well, 77, my kids would be like sweltering and melting and whining the whole time. 77 is literally 10 degrees hotter than my kids allow when they come over our house. They hammer the thermostat down to 68 and I scream. So it was 77 is kind of warm for a computer, especially you had said it's placed under that desk too, right? In a closed desk?
It is, yeah.
Have you tried taking it out of that desk and seeing if you get that blue screen still?
No, I pulled it out just to vacuum.
Well, right.
I think I did leave it out initially, and I got an error about 20 minutes after the call.
Oh,
I can try that again.
Well,
I did run one test that gave me an error.
Yes, sir.
I ran, let me find my notes. It was called Deployment Image Servicing and Management Tool.
Yeah, DISM. It's a component of Windows.
You get a DISM schism.
And yeah, it's advising you to do a it really is a way to repair the operating system.
Which again would may be causing your blue screen as well.
It
but that
could
would,
be.
But he talked about doing all those things. He did all those things.
Right.
Yeah.
We know that.
This was like on page two of the thing, and this time it said error. The repair content could not be found anywhere.
Okay. That would tell me that it's not getting any reference information either in a recovery partition on the computer or from Microsoft. Mm. It will go out to Microsoft's cloud to get that information. So if it can't do that, and if what's on the recovery partition isn't right, then you're going to get that error.
So then that's kind of pointing.
Then what you would need to do.
Yeah. There it goes.
Here's a little computer science.
Oh boy.
What you would have to do is create an ISO image of a Windows, a Windows installation ISO image.
Yikes.
And you would have to open that up and copy some files out of that then you would type the DISM command in a way that points it to that source of data. And we can post an article about how to do that. It's a lot of steps, a bit of work.
Yeah.
You're going to be downloading an entire ISO from Microsoft, so that'll take a while.
Yikes.
But it can be done, and it can fix your computer.
Mm-hmm.
I think what probably happened is that you do have some kind of a hardware problem or a heat issue or something of that nature.
Yep.
And then you had some blue screens. And because of those blue screens, the operating system itself became damaged.
Yeah.
And the first step to fixing everything is to repair that operating system and get it in good working condition.
Yeah.
And then you can figure out what to do with the hardware or with the heat.
And he did try some of the system file checker tools
You did SFC, right?
Yeah.
So
we'll post an article about how to do DISM manually.
It's really fun. A nice day out there today, Alan. I mean,
it's not
Connecticut
fun.
Doesn't get a lot of nice
but
days.
But it, like I said, it can be done.
Yeah, so there's that option. How old is this machine, Alan?
Just over 3 years.
Ah, it's so young. So I do think it got – I do still think that it's caught as a heat-based issue – because of where it's located in the desk and 70, if that thing gets to 77, 80 degrees and it's running, doing its thing, it can get hot and it can blue screen. Again, I said it's happened to me on my own machines. So the thought here to have you do what Dennis just said, it just makes me kind of sick that you would even have to go to this route, because this is like heavy lifting when it comes to quote unquote computer science, what he's trying to tell you to do. Is there a lot of software on your system? Is there a lot of data? Would it make any sense to do something that we geeks like to call a wipe and reload?
Well, in terms of hard disk drive, it's like a 1 terabyte, and it's probably 120% full.
Okay, so not too much data.
No.
The approach most of us would take as geeks, rather than the forensic approach that Dennis is suggesting, is to wipe and reload. Not that Dennis Rouse is not a good one. It's just going to be more painful, I think. If you do a wipe and a reload, you start fresh, right? You have an option to go into the system settings of the machine and factory default it. That should give you a clean operating system if the operating system is corrupted and there's no other issues with your hardware. However, you'll lose all the data. You're going to lose everything, right? It's like starting fresh. So you have to make sure you've got a backup of your data and have your disks and software available so you can reload that whatever software you're using. Because I don't think we're going to fix this without having a wipe and reload, or you follow Dennis's instructions and put back the files that are damaged in some way onto the operating system.
Okay. So I'll read the link that you set up and look at that.
We'll put a wipe and reload link too for you.
Okay, great.
This is awful what you're going through. It's no fun. I would tell you to run that machine outside of the computer desk there to see if it stays cooler. You get less blue screens. Try to track and see if you're getting blue screens or if that reduces. Not that the damage is, it's already been done, right? So you can't, by having less blue screens, it could also now be self blue screening because of the damage that was done on the operating system itself. So it becomes compounding. But PCs and systems do want to be cool, and keeping them cool will definitely help you in the going forward. So after you do all this work, consider some way to add more airflow so that at 77 degrees, it is pretty warm for a computer. Like we're gonna want a server room to be in the low 70s to keep that cool. And even in the low 70s, you're gonna see those fans are gonna scream in many server rooms too. So 77 is kind of toasty.
Okay.
All right.
Good enough.
All right, Alan. Dennis is already working hard putting those links up there for you.
We think we have something. Mike G is gonna take a look and then we'll post it. Once we know that it will do what we're trying to suggest. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
All right, Alan. It's like painting your house, what he's about to do. You just don't want to do it.
Right.
You just don't want to do it. But yeah, keep your machines cool. It is definitely a problem. You want it, even though these computers these days have heat sinks that are like the size of they're massive on top of the CPU. You wouldn't believe how small the CPU is compared to the heatsink.
It's almost ridiculous.
It's like the CPU is like a postage stamp, but you've got this what comes to mind is a big ashtray of a heatsink on top of it, and then you got a fan on top of it sometimes, and then you got case fans on top of it sometimes, multiple case fans to keep that airflow going. And then when you stifle it all inside a computer desk, it really does heat up and defeats the purpose. So that might be part of the problem. So, Greg, hang on. Three lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here until 11. We'll be right back.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.